This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Wednesday, and oh boy, what a Wednesday it has been. The amount of news that has dropped in the last 24 hours about the incoming Trump administration, the new Senate leader, all that is just, it's going to be difficult to pack all this into the next 3 hours of the Jesse Kelly Show, but we will do it. So that's what we have on tap for tonight. I'm going to address these things. I'll tell you what, I'm going to address these things in order. I'm going to give it to you right now. How long I'm going to take on each one, I don't know. But we are going to talk first and foremost about Pete Hegseth being potentially Secretary of Defense. Remember, all these are potential until they're confirmed by the Senate. Then we're going to talk about Matt Gaetz. Donald Trump appoints Congressman, well, anoints, I don't know what you want to say, puts up Congressman Matt Gaetz up to be the next AG, again, banking on a Senate process. And then Tulsi Gabbard for Director of National Intelligence. We will get to a little bit of the Senate leadership race. That ship has kind of already sailed. We'll get to that. We will. We'll talk about the evils of the Biden administration and what they did DEI-wise, what the future is. First, I do think before we go any further and we dig into this Secretary of Defense thing. A lot of you love this stuff. A lot of you hate it. I do think we should do something that's really, really, really important. Let's make sure we're always keeping the most important thing first. And the most important thing is acknowledging and praising me when I call things ahead of time as only an oracle can do. You see, what, Chris? It's fine. Chris, it's fine. Don't quit. You see, back in February of this year, that's almost a year ago, this guy, Jesse Kelly, who might be an oracle, he said this.
The list of potential replacements is really bad. It is. Yes, there is a chance a more conservative upstart like Rick Scott can mount some sort of a revolution within the Senate GOP and maybe take over. That's probably about the best we could hope for. But the truth is, there have been a couple guys who've been gunning for this leadership spot for a long time, sucking up to Mitch McConnell, proving to the DC swamp that they're team players, of course, that they'll play ball. And those two names are John Cornyn, he's much less likely, and John Thune. John Thune from the blood red state. John Thune, who should have been primaried forever ago, but of course he's handsome and speaks very well on TV. So the moron GOP primary voter goes out and votes for him every time. John Thune's probably going to be our next Senate minority or majority leader.
Ah. Almost a year ago. Feels good to be. Chris, is there anything you'd like to say before we get into the rest of the show to me? Or I hate my job is not what I was looking for, Chris. Do you have anything, any way to acknowledge your hero? Anyway, let's set that aside and let's talk about good things. Pete Hegseth, Matt Gaetz, Tulsi Gabbard. Let's talk about, first, let's set the table, shall we? And let's talk about disruptors. Have you ever seen anything about these civilian boot camps? Yeah, I'll tell you, I was talking to a guy about this recently. In fact, the last fishing trip I did with my dad, you remember I told you we went fishing the day before he died? We actually got a guide to help us get into some redfish. Now, not a fancy guide here. Again, just a local guy. He's a Louisiana guy. A guy we already knew. Hey, give you a couple $100. Get us out there. Get us into some redfish. Let the kids catch some redfish. Anyways, great dude. But we're out there and we're friends with this guy. So we're out there. We're just gabbing about life. And he started talking about one of his sons. One of his sons lost his mind, really. I don't mean lost his mind, but his kid hit his 16, 17-year-old years and really, really lost his way. Started abusing booze, running around with the wrong crowd, getting super defiant at home. Grades fell off. Went from being an elite athlete to a bum. He just was really blowing his life up, as young men are wont to do, and was turning into a disaster. And then one night, believe me, all this is coming back to politics. Stay with me. One night, he steps up to his father. He was back talking his mom. His dad stepped in and said, "Don't you talk to your mom like that." And he bows up to his father and threatens to beat up his dad. Puts a finger in his chest. Okay, so crisis situation in the family, right? Crisis situation. You should note, quick side note, I went home and promptly told my sons if they ever stick a finger in my chest or talk back to their mother, no one will ever see them again. So they are very, very clear on how that works in my house. All that aside, that family operated a little differently, and they were in a crisis. They didn't want their boy to lose his mind. What do you do? Where do you go? Where do you turn? They decided on a boot camp, not a military boot camp per se, but I'm sure you've seen these behavioral boot camps, I guess I'll put it that way, that are always run by former military guys, and they're a living hell on the troubled young men and women. This is for young boys and girls, oftentimes who got in trouble with the law or whatnot. You take a troubled youth and you yank them out of their environment and you put them through hell, the hell of boot camp. And they come out the other end, not always, but oftentimes completely turned around. It is, by the way, you should know, I'll go ahead and spoil the end of this guy's story. His son, straight A's, elite athlete again, on his way to college, girlfriend he's going to marry, doesn't disrespect his parents, boom, night and day. So what did that look like? Well, 3 a.m. one night, dad goes to the front door, unlocks it and opens up the door for two very, very loud, very large, very frightening men who stormed into his son's room, kicked in his door at 3 a.m., screamed at him to the point he was shaking in his underwear. They thought he was going to pee himself. And then they dragged him out of that house in the middle of the night, threw him in the back of a truck, and carted him off to a living hell of boot camp where he was screamed at, worked out, where he was cleaning toilets with toothbrushes. You know, that old boot camp stuff. And his life was made a living hell. And on the back end of that, his life was turned around. In order to change the direction of people, of organizations, of nations that are on a bad path, oftentimes a disruptor is necessary. And the problem we have, and the problem we are going to have now, as we try to right this ship as a country, is we want the change, right? We want things to turn around. I want the military to do better. I want them to be like they used to be. I want the intelligence community to be like they used to be. I want the Justice Department to turn things around. Jesse, I'm with you. I want to right the ship. Only I want to do it politely. Oh, not with him. Oh, he's icky. Oh, not that guy. No, that guy has a tattoo. Oh, gosh. This guy? Ooh, he's got a criminal record. This guy? No, we can't use that guy. He's too obnoxious. Oh, Jesse, not him. Not him. Not him. Oh, wait, not him. We want the disruptor to fix things, but we don't want the disruptor to disrupt. You don't change the young man's life. You don't change it forever. You don't improve it forever politely. You don't do it by doing the things you've always done. You don't do it by pouring him an extra bowl of Captain Crunch, possibly with Crunch Berries in the morning. If you want to change your life, the life of your child, if you need to radically change the path you are on, then you are going to need a disruption that is uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. It is time for you and me to get comfortable being uncomfortable when it comes to Pete Hegseth, and I'm going to begin there. When it comes to Pete Hegseth, you have all these people, they're looking at it, wait a minute, he was just a major, he wasn't even a general, he was on Fox News on the weekend, he wasn't this, he wasn't that, we need somebody who knows. Jesse, he doesn't know what he's doing. Jesse, he doesn't have the experience. You know who has had the experience? You know who was a general? You know who was an admiral? Every single weapons grade loser who's destroyed the United States military for the last 30, 40 years. They've all been generals. They've all been admirals. They've all been in the defense industry. They've all been around Washington forever. They all knew what they were doing. So do you want change? Radical change? Well, radical change, disruption is going to be uncomfortable. And we're going to dig into a lot of that. In fact, that'll be the show tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. That and me bragging about myself.
John Thune, who should have been primaried forever ago, but of course he's handsome and speaks very well on TV. John Thune's probably going to be our next Senate minority or majority leader.
What, Chris? I just wanted to play it one more time. Just one more time. That's probably going to be the last time, Chris. If you're looking for relief, though, maybe try Relief Factor, Chris. I don't know. Look, Relief Factor, I love it because it's 100% drug-free. It works on joint pain and muscle pain, you know, your back. I don't know if it can work on the emotional pain that you're going through right now, Chris. I just don't think that's the special design. But Relief Factor will work for any physical pain that may come from all this. If you've been slamming your head against the desk because you're frustrated by your work environment, try Relief Factor. You may get some head pain relief. And for everyone who's not Chris, do you have pain in your life? Does your back hurt when you wake up? Is that neck a constant bother? You rubbing your hands? Do your feet hurt? You don't have to live like that. You don't have to ignore it. And you don't have to take harmful things to mask it. Try Relief Factor for 3 weeks. $19.95 is all it costs for 3 weeks. And tell me how you feel. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, an incredible Wednesday, reminding you that it's hump day, and you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can also leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Now, let's address these things in order. Again, this is going to be the order of business. Pete Hegseth, Matt Gaetz for AG, Tulsi Gabbard, DNI, but let's deal with Pete Hegseth first and foremost, because Trump announced him last night. He wants Pete to head up the Defense Department, Secretary of Defense. Big cheese. The big cheese. So let's discuss what has happened to the United States military. This has taken a long time. Yes, the Biden administration put all the problems I'm about to lay out in overdrive. But this has taken a long time for us to get where we are. The United States military, over the decades, ceased becoming about something that was protecting the country and started becoming something that was all about protecting the military, namely the generals and admirals, the big shots who make the choices. A lot of this traces clear back to, well, you know what, let's do a big rewind on this, shall we? We have time. I know you like to dig a little deeper into things like I do. Let's go back to World War II. Just stay with me here. Take a little bit. Stay with me. Before World War II, the United States military was very, very, very small, which is exactly what it should be. It's exactly what the founders wanted. They understood we needed a strong Navy because of our position on the globe. But as far as a standing army goes, it should be small. You should have a strong NCO corps that is ready to train people up at a moment's notice. World War II breaks out. Uh-oh. We throw things into overdrive, and boom, we start churning out this incredible, incredible military. But something else happened during the course of World War II. You know, the arsenal of the world, the arsenal of democracy, all that stuff is amazingly true. The United States of America We turn to our incredible economy, our incredible manufacturing base, and we turned it into a military factory. We had auto plants making tanks and planes. We simply turned to our economy and said, you're in a wartime footing now. Go. And they did their jobs well, and we should be proud and honestly amazed by what we accomplished back then as a nation. However, something happened. Eisenhower himself saw it happening. Something happened. There's a yin and a yang to things, right? A good and a bad, a cause and effect. What happened during that time is a lot of private sector companies and big shots in the military figured out that war is really good business. It involves hoovering up a lot of money for yourself. You know what's better if you're Ford than people going out there and buying Model Ts? What's better is the United States government writing you large taxpayer-backed checks to make planes and trains and automobiles. Well, okay, not the automobiles. I was going off the movie, but you get what I mean. It's a lot easier money, and there's a lot more of it. And post-World War II, we started to reduce the size of our military en masse again. But the private sector and the military people never really lost sight of the fact that war, it's a lot of fun, especially when you're not one of the ones being shot at. War is a blast when you're a general in the rear with the gear, when you're a mogul, Boeing, Raytheon. War is a grand old time. Then Korea kicks off, and because we had reduced our military again, we once again had to ramp it back up quickly. And remember, we had Marines on a boat on the way to Korea. On a way to fight in Korea, we had Marines on a boat finishing boot camp. We were so short on men, they're grabbing Marine recruiting classes and finishing boot camp on a boat. Gosh, that had to suck. Anyway, that's how shortchanged we were. And then we watched 500,000 Chinese pour over the border, and now we have Cold War stuff. And after that, we looked around as a country and said, hey, you know what? This whole reducing the size of the military thing, we got to slow way down on that. Clearly, we need to be cutting edge, and we need to be ready to go anywhere, anytime. It was really Korea, World War II in Korea. That was really the sea change for United States of America to change its foreign policy from being very hands-off, you do what you do, into instantly, hey, we need to be able to be anywhere. If we have to be in Madagascar or Korea or the Soviet Union or Antarctica, we need to be able to be anywhere, anytime, and fight a huge war. We totally changed our mentality there. And guys, like I mentioned, Eisenhower, who would know, saw this coming. That's why he gave that infamous speech. I would ask you to go listen to it yourself. About what's known as the military-industrial complex. And what that pretty much is, it is an industry. It's not defense. It's become an industry unto itself. If you're at the Pentagon, if you're a general, if you're an admiral, if you're a flag officer, you don't put your son in harm's way for the most part. You yourself will never be in harm's way. You're a civilian with a better-looking uniform, and war is good for you. You get a new command here, a new command there. If you're a huge defense contractor, war is amazing for you. If you're a politician, especially a Republican politician over the years, but this applies to all of them, you look super patriotic standing in front of the troops and sending them into combat. This is not unique to America. Unpopular politicians throughout history have gone to war because the nation gets whipped up with patriotic fury, and then off to war you go and your popularity numbers soar. War's been amazing for all these types, but it hasn't been amazing for you, the taxpayer, and it hasn't been amazing for the men on the ground, and it hasn't been amazing for the defense of this country. I'll continue in a second. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day. The Jesse Kelly Show.
John Thune, who should have been primaried forever ago, but of course he's handsome and speaks very well on TV. John Thune's probably going to be our next Senate minority or majority leader.
That was me from back in February. I don't know if I've played that for you yet on the show, but that was me being right back in February. Anyway, stop. We'll get to that in a while. Right now, we're talking about Pete Hegseth. We're doing a little backstory on the United States military and what eventually happened to it. So we were talking about the military, how it eventually became bloated, how it eventually became an industry unto itself, with the politicians working with the defense contractors who are working with the generals, and it just becomes one large club. And what they're doing is blood-sucking your tax dollars, promoting each other, paying each other, having a blast on the world stage. In the meantime, you're not any safer, only you are a whole lot poorer. Now, Vietnam comes along. I went over the World War II Korean War thing. Vietnam represented a completely different change that was equally, if not the most devastating thing we have seen in Vietnam. Vietnam, it changed how the officer corps handled each other. It changed how colonels and generals and admirals handled each other. One thing, if you ever read any books on World War II, the documentaries won't generally be that good at this. I'm sure there are good podcasts for it, but if you read World War II books, whatever campaign it may be, for Europe or Normandy or Italy or the Pacific or any of those things, one thing that will hit you hard is how often the commander was relieved of duty. And relieved was about as good as you could hope for lots of the time. Oftentimes, these guys were court-martialed, publicly humiliated. Go look what they did to the big cheese at Pearl Harbor. They will destroy your career and your reputation if you as a commander fail, and sometimes it doesn't even have to be your fault. And that was not unique to our military. The history of the world was oftentimes like that. In Rome, if you screwed up bad enough, they'll flat out kill you. You'll go back and you'll have a quick trial and they'll just kill you right there. Is it sorry, General? Not acceptable. Gone. Dead. And in Vietnam, for a variety of reasons, that's when that changed. That's when the officer corps, all these flag officer types, all those fancy generals and admirals, that's when they all got together with each other and they said, hey, why are we doing this to each other? Whenever we screw up, we have to resign, we retire in disgrace and whatnot. What if instead of accountability, what if we just protected each other at all times? Oh, no. The men and the dudes on the ground, the guys out there getting shot. No. There's still no grace for them whatsoever. The second they screw up, we will destroy their careers and we'll court-martial them and we'll completely wreck their lives. But us, hey, we're the generals. Let's not do this to each other anymore. We're all on the same team, right? Don't you agree, General? Don't you agree? And that poisonous culture continued past Vietnam, and it exists today in what I hope to be its final form. 20 years of Iraq and Afghanistan. 20 years of men and women dying. And the ones who didn't die, blown up, PTSD all over the place, missing body parts. And that's just the American troops. We'll set aside what happened to others overseas. 20 years of failure. I know guys who watched their friends die so they could put in a well in an Afghan village. A well the villagers decided to never use. I know guys who guarded the poppy fields. You know heroin? I know guys who were put in charge of guarding the poppy fields in Afghanistan. Did you know that? The Green Beret in Afghanistan who caught one of the Afghan security forces viciously abusing a young boy. I won't go into it. The Green Beret was punished for that. failure after failure, disgrace after disgrace, how many generals and admirals lost their jobs? How many had public trials, resigned, fired? How many? No, none, really. I mean, of course, if anyone offended Obama, they did, but really none. They all went on and wrote books. You can say Petraeus, but Petraeus didn't go for military reasons. He went because he ended up having a relationship with a young lady. Instead, the kind of military we have now, the what the men and women on the ground see at the top, at the highest levels, they see this crap.
How does it strike you that no one is held accountable? Because I know how it strikes a lot of people around the world that you can get away with murder and nobody's punished for it.
I do understand that. We appreciate that not everybody's going to support this decision. What I can tell you is we looked at this thing very, very comprehensively. And again, we acknowledge that there were procedural breakdowns. Processes were not executed the way they should have been. But it doesn't necessarily indicate that that an individual or individuals have to be held to account for that. But look...
Is there discipline inside the Pentagon at all? I mean, maybe there are no charges brought up, but is anyone demoted or disciplined for what happened that day?
What we are going to do, there's not going to be individual discipline as a result of this, Willie. But what we are going to do is learn from this, and we're going to enact and improve our procedures and our processes to try to make sure this doesn't happen again.
A flag officer in Saipan was relieved of his command, not because of cowardice, not because he really necessarily did anything wrong. He was relieved of his command because his troops weren't thought to be moving fast enough, and he lost his command and lost his reputation. That was back in World War II. Here in the modern United States of America, we can send a Reaper drone to wipe out 10 completely innocent civilians, and the Pentagon will announce publicly that nobody has resigned, nobody's even been reprimanded. In fact, we don't even really think anyone did anything wrong. Best of luck to you today. Did you know that the United States military, that they've war-gamed a war with China? Did you know that we've lost every one of those war games? They know our capabilities. They know their capabilities. And so they do these advanced level war games to see, okay, we're going to do this. That means they'll do this. So we'll do this and they'll do that. And they kind of walk through it. It's an exercise to see where you're at. Did you know we get our lunch eaten by the Chinese if the war's fought over there? Did you know that? The United States military is in a state of crisis I can't even describe. The officer corps is so full of losers and politicians and idiots. The Pentagon's full of traitors. The military industrial complex, the defense contractors, that relationship is a disaster. How they've bought off politicians to continue things like Ukraine without end in exchange for large campaign donations. Our United States military is in a state of crisis, and I not only fear for my country as a whole, for the men on the ground, the ground pounders, the guys who actually see combat, I am terrified for them at the disastrous, poisonous, filthy leadership we have in the United States military as of now. I have email after email after email. Jesse, I'm getting out. Jesse, I'm getting out. Jesse, I can't take it anymore. Jesse, I'm not letting my son join. I fought in the global war on terror, and I still speak to so many guys who fought in it with me. Not a single friend of mine, not one, is encouraging his children to join. Almost every single one of them, to a man, is telling his kids they're not even allowed. That's a military in crisis. And that brings me to Pete Hegseth. Let's talk about the potential new SecDef. Again, all these guys have to get through Senate confirmation. Some may have more trouble than others. Before we get to any of that, let's talk really quickly about people living in a war zone constantly. Can you imagine living in Israel and you're constantly in a war zone? That trip to the coffee shop on the corner might easily be a stabbing or a bomb. You, at any moment, you're picking up the kids from school. The alarms might go off and you guys might have to scramble and get to a bomb shelter somewhere because rockets are raining down. This is what it's like for these people every single day. You know how many of these people don't have food? They need emergency food, places to live. People don't know about this because it's ignored. The IFCJ is on the ground helping these people. Help them help these people if you have a heart to do so. Go to supportifcj.org or call 888-488-IFCJ. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday where I can't get the smile off my face. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Now on to the Pete Hegseth pick. And I need to make sure everyone understands, I'm going to repeat this several times during the show. He has to get confirmed in the Senate. There are some positions that do not require a Senate confirmation. Like that wonderful Florida rep, Mike Walls, former Green Beret. Donald Trump named him as National Security Advisor. That is not a position that requires a Senate confirmation. Secretary of Defense does require a Senate confirmation. What is a Senate confirmation? Well, you need 51. You need 51 votes. And remember, if there's ever a problem with that, J.D. Vance can add a 51st. So, Pete Hegseth, I just laid out all the problems in the military. They are vast. We need a disruptor. Now, Jesse, he doesn't have the experience. He's not a general. He's not a... He served this country for 20 years and led men in combat. I don't mean sitting back in the rear with the gear. I don't mean stapling papers for a general. Pete Hegseth had on a flak jacket and went out 2 bronze stars and led men like a lion in combat. He knows exactly what the men on the ground go through for this country and still cares. He didn't get so separated from those men that he became a filthy loser politician like Mark Milley did, who sold out every ounce of honor he ever had. Pete Hegseth, he ended up getting out. Do you know why he got out? Because they considered his rhetoric too extreme, so they ran him out of the National Guard. He told me that himself. What kind of rhetoric was extreme? Oh, I don't know. Wonderful things like this.
Well, first of all, you got to fire, you got to fire the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and you got to fire this. I mean, obviously, you're going to bring in a new Secretary of Defense, but any general that was involved, general, admiral, whatever that was involved in any of the DEI woke shit, it's got to go. Either you're in for war fighting, that and that's it. And that's the only litmus test we care about. You got to get DEI and CRT out of military academies so you're not training young officers to be baptized in this type of thinking. And then, you know, whatever the standards, whatever the combat standards were, say, in, I don't know, 1995, let's just make those the standards. And as far as recruiting, to hire the guy that, you know, did Top Gun Maverick and create some real ads that motivate people to want to serve.
I don't know. Does that sound good to you? Sounds wonderful to me. And I should note that was from the Sean Ryan show, which is amazing. I love Sean. Pete sat down with Sean Ryan. And Pete has been out there saying things. Well, a lot of these things you've heard on this show for a long time. And things that may make you uncomfortable. Might even make you squirm. Might even offend you. Yet things that are 100% accurate.
I'm straight up just saying we should not have women in combat roles. It hasn't made us more effective, hasn't made us more lethal, has made fighting more complicated. We've all served with women and they're great. Mm-hmm. It just, our institutions don't have to incentivize that in places where traditionally, not traditionally, over human history, men in those positions are more capable.
Does that sound like somebody who wants to disrupt how the military has been conducting itself? You bet it does. He's somebody passionate about fixing this military, and I have previously lacked faith that we can get this done without someone like this. I have dreamt of, yes, an experienced but outsider type of person who will step in and break up this horrible flag officer network, defense contractor network, this network of filth in the Pentagon full of all kinds of garbage people screwing things up. I have dreamt of a potential outsider stepping in and saying, no more. There's a new sheriff in town. And maybe, just maybe, I'm not saying this just because I'm friends with Pete, maybe Pete Hegseth is that guy. And he's not somebody that I knew about ahead of time, I will tell you. I had a dream of a concept, if you will. I had a nameless, faceless person. And Pete Hegseth is basically exactly what I wanted. Somebody who knows exactly how to build a military, build a lethal fighting force. And my phone has been melting from the grunts I'm friends with who are still in, and fighter pilots, I should note, and they are all kinds of fired up for the potential to change things. That, and the fact that these crazy libs hate him.
The former and future president is moving quickly to fill the clown car and round out his cabinet before he changes his mind and fires them all. Moments ago, Trump announced that he has selected Fox Weekend Morning Show host. You can't make this up. Pete Hegseth to serve as Secretary of Defense, because why not?
Fox Weekend Morning Show host. A tour in Iraq, a tour in Afghanistan, two bronze stars, and they have him reduced down to a Fox Weekend Morning Show host. Here was Don Lemon.
An official statement from Donald Trump saying, I am honored to announce that I have nominated Pete Hegseth to serve in my cabinet as the Secretary of Defense. What? At first, some of these folks, these nominations, I said, okay, or appointments, I'm like, all right, they're a little extreme, but there were some normal people in there, kind of normal, you know, like Marco Rubio or Mike Waltz, or a couple of, you know, just regular old Republicans in there. But Pete Hegseth, the morning weekend host on Fox News? Come on.
That's exactly why I love it. And remember this, whenever these people reference the, well, we had some normal options. You notice how they always end up referencing the Republicans who won't really oppose them in any significant way. To them, those are the normal Republicans. You could have had a reasonable Republican. Of course, reasonable Republican always and forever means a Republican. He may oppose me on some things, but I know when the rubber meets the road and I really start with my rabid animal communist ways, the reasonable Republican will probably try to meet me halfway and moderate and do things in a bipartisan fashion. That's what he means by reasonable Republican. I love this pick. I am so excited about it. Now we'll set that aside. There's the Pete Hegseth, because we have a lot of news. Let's deal with the Senate leadership thing and then the Matt Gaetz pick, which has half the people doing backflips, half the people throwing up in the trash can. Before we get to that, my Patriot Supply is here to ensure we are all ready for whatever may come. Do you have any idea what's going to come next? I don't. The world is changing and shifting, and we all need an emergency food supply of some kind. Everybody, how long can the people in your home eat on just the food you have there? My Patriot Supply has been doing this for so long. They have millions of people who have already been stocked up with emergency food. They sell four-week emergency food kits that are $50 off right now. You have to go to preparewithjesse.com to get yours. Don't hope you're ready. Take an accounting of what you have and go get 4 weeks of emergency food for everyone who lives in your home. That's basic preparations. Preparewithjesse.com. Let's deal with the Senate leadership thing. And Matt Gaetz, next.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.